Hey there, Mr. Reddit here. Welcome back to another episode of r/Entitled Parent Stories. Our first story we'll be reading today. Entitled mom claims car wash damaged entitled kid's car, even though we had evidence the car was already damaged. After that, entitled teacher's kid gets absolutely wrecked. And after that, Karen at hotel I work at demands I do her laundry. Now for every thumbs up this video gets, one Karen has to do her own laundry.
But I don't want to.
So please smash that like button. And if you're new, subscribe and turn on notifications for new stories from Reddit every single day. Entitled mom claims car wash damaged entitled kid's car, even though we had evidence the car was already damaged. Okay, so I work at a car wash, and about a week ago, a kid comes up to me claiming that the wash had scraped the bumper of his 2020 Mercedes. Me. Well, looking at it, that appears to be where someone hit some concrete. Nothing in the wash would cause that kind of damage. Entitled kid.
Well, it wasn't like that before going into the wash, and now it's destroyed.
Me. Okay, well, there is a process to this. I'm going to get some information from you and then take some pictures. After that, I will investigate it and call you in a couple of days. Entitled kid.
Okay, who do I take my car to get it repaired?
Me. Well, no one yet. First, I have to investigate it, and then I'll give you further instruction.
Well, what is there to investigate? The car wash damaged my car. Case closed.
Me. I understand how you feel, but I have to. It's our policy. Entitled kid.
You can't be serious. This car costs more than your house, and you expect me to drive around like this for days, waiting for you to pull some BS? I'm calling my dad. He's a lawyer.
Me. Okay. Well, now there is nothing I can do for you. Since you've decided to get legal action involved, you have to deal with our legal team. Let me grab you their number. Entitled kid.
Yeah, you had better do that. My dad has never lost a case.
At this point, I step inside to grab the corporate number, and he holds his phone up to his ear to make a call. I grab him the card and hand it to him and walk back inside. About an hour goes by when I see another nice car pull into the exit and fly up to the wash office. Entitled mom.
Are you the manager?
Me. Yes, ma'am. How can I be of help?
I want to know what makes you think you can talk to my son like he's trash.
Me. Ma'am, I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about. A little background for you. I've been described as one of the nicest people most people know. I'm always smiling. I apologize too much and constantly have a caring tone to my voice. So I was genuinely confused what this lady was talking about. Entitled mom.
Your wash ruined my son's car, and you told him to go forget himself. Remember now?
Me. Oh, yes. He was here about an hour ago. Yes, I tried to get a damage claim going, but he said that his father was a lawyer and was going to sue us. So I gave him the number for our legal department.
BS. He told me what really happened. You lied that there was nothing you could do, then tried lying about how the wash couldn't have damaged his car. Then you wanted to make him wait weeks when you messed around, hoping he'd forget. He had to call his father, who is a lawyer, just to get you to pay attention to him.
Me. Ma'am, I explained to your son that there is a process. It takes me about 2 days to investigate what happened and get him taken care of. He chose to instead yell at me and threaten to sue the company.
Well, of course he did. It doesn't take a genius to see that his car was messed up from the wash. It went in brand new and came out deformed. I'm surprised this place is still in business. Now get me the number for your mechanic before I have to call my husband.
Me. Ma'am, I'll tell you what. Give me 1 minute and let me look into something. Before she could say a word, I turned around and went back inside and got on the viewing computer. There are several cameras that video your car going in so we can see all prior damage. And right as he entered, there it was. Me. Okay, ma'am. I was able to look at the cameras of him entering the wash. If you'd like to come take a look, I'll show you.
I don't have time for this BS.
She walks in and sits down. I show her the video and show her him entering the tunnel. Me. So you can see that this is the video of him entering the wash. It was clearly already damaged before the wash. Entitled mom.
No, no, no. This is photoshopped. I know for a fact his car left the house today in perfect condition.
Me. And that's very possible. But somewhere along the line, he damaged it after that. But before the wash. And here is the proof.
No, this doesn't prove anything, but it's fine. Hope your crappy car wash has a great lawyer. You're gonna need them.
Then she leaves. As she was leaving, though, she ran over a parking cone we had out for distancing. I think I now know how the car got damaged. Speaking of Mercedes, what's your favorite car of all time? Please let us know.
Easily a tie between Mercedes and BMW, but you peasants wouldn't know about that.
Entitled teacher's kid gets absolutely wrecked. This is the tale of how an entitled and borderline sociopathic classmate of mine had her academic life ruined before it had even started over some petty BS. Allow me to introduce her. I'll call her Karen Jr. Karen Jr. was a pretty decent student who made equally decent grades. Certainly nothing to scoff at. However, she didn't take any particularly hard classes, and it seemed as if she was merely skating by in school, waiting for the greater things in life. She was also a mythic jerk. She had money and often flaunted it. She looked down at kids who didn't have as much as she did, and was a classic case of spoiled jerk syndrome. She also had a habit of sending her mom on anyone who dared to rub her the wrong way. Let's talk about her. Her mom worked at this school as a math teacher and was very chummy with most of the other teachers, as well as the administration of both the school and the local county board. She was also a jerk. She would intentionally fail high-achieving students who might make her precious daughter look worse in the long run. We'll call this teacher Karen. As for myself, I was a senior in high school at the time of all of this, class of 2019. I'm currently a college sophomore. In high school, I was one of the top students in my class. My undergraduate studies have been entirely paid for by academic scholarships, and I was one of a handful who were poised to be valedictorian for our class. Of course, this title didn't mean much to me. I worked my butt off for scholarship money, not for some silly title. I'm saying this now not to brag, but because it's important to the story later. It's also important to note that this story takes place in the thick of college admission season. Seniors were scrambling to write essays, get important documents together, and raise standardized test scores before it was all said and done. I mostly only ever had class with Karen Jr. when I was taking courses required to graduate. These weren't hard classes at all, and certainly were not weighted. Typically, my other classes would be AP or dual credit courses to academically challenge myself and to raise my GPA for scholarships. I rarely had class with Karen Jr. in any of these courses, and the class size was so small for APs at my school that if she had been, we would have been in the same class for sure. This was very odd, as she struck me as capable to handle the course load. That's when it began. You see, Karen Jr., like many other folks at this time, had also been trying to raise her test scores for college admissions. She claimed that she had anxiety, and as a result, she got some special accommodations whenever it was time to take tests, both for classes and standardized. However, she was notoriously extroverted in class discussions and never struck me as the nervous type. I have dealt with generalized anxiety disorder for years, and I wasn't buying it. I also didn't want to use this as a cop-out to get special privileges, but if that's what the psychologist's note said, I didn't have an issue with it. For regular class tests, this meant that she got to leave the room and take her test somewhere else. She typically went to the library, where she could take it in a more isolated setting. There was a rare situation where we did share a class, AP US Government. The teacher was also great friends with Karen. At my high school, it was known as one of the easier AP classes due to the heavy focus on vocabulary and the lack of challenging concepts. We had tests in there on a two-week basis, after covering the material in the textbook. I would study my butt off for each and every test, and I always ended up with low A's. This was fine in my book, since the other assignments would keep my grade above the 95 mark. As per usual, Karen Jr. would leave class every 2 weeks to take the test. This was all well and good, and she got a 100 on every single test. She's a capable student, but she's certainly no genius. She would also flaunt to her friends how she never studies for any of her tests because she just gets it. This continued for the first little bit of the course. Until one test day, the library was closed down after some water damage had been uncovered and a pretty bad storm. She couldn't take the test in the library as usual and had to take it with the rest of us. She seemed hesitant, but the teacher insisted that there was nowhere else suitable in the school for test taking, and so she took the test and gloriously bombed it. I don't know exactly what she got, but she had shed a few tears as soon as she saw her grade. She claimed that it had been misgraded by the Scantron and insisted that it was rescored. She got the same score. I assumed that it was due to her anxiety, and I felt bad for her. That sympathy went away in an instant when, during class, she whispered to one of her friends that she'd always go to her mom's classroom instead of the library to take her tests. I always had a skill for eavesdropping, since I was a relatively unassuming person who didn't say much in class. I didn't know what this meant for sure, but I assume her mom, Karen, had looked up the answers for it. That explained immediately why she had gotten perfect scores on the previous tests and why she had bombed this one. However, her blatant cheating didn't affect me one bit, so I turned a blind eye and kept doing my own thing. Then the situation escalated a slight bit. See, her anxiety also allowed her some special privileges for taking standardized college placement exams, like the ACT and the SAT. One of my friends had a sister who genuinely had a learning disability and absolutely needed the extra time. She was incredibly sweet. We'll call the sister Destiny. Destiny explained to me that when you present to the SAT testing facility with accommodations, you had two options. You could either take each of the four ACT sections, five sections if you took it with writing, on separate days under normal time constraints, or take all of the sections on the same day with double the time on each section. Destiny also explained that all test takers with accommodations took the exam on the same day, different than normal test takers, so that they could ensure that each student's needs could be met. Destiny mentioned how Karen Jr. got a special room to take her tests in, not unlike her regular tests. That's all well and good, she thought. Except, when Destiny finished her exams, she noticed that Karen Jr. hadn't finished with the rest of the students. She assumed this meant that Karen Jr. had opted for the extended time option. Until, on Karen Jr.'s social media, she posted about how she was ready for day two of ACT testing. Sure enough, she had taken it over the course of several days. All of this meant that, somehow, Karen Jr. had taken the ACT with both accommodation options. I wasn't sure how something like this would have been possible. Karen Jr. got a spectacular score on her exam, something like a 32 or a 33. Again, this didn't particularly bother me. Her test scores don't affect me one bit. I decided to take the information with a laugh and move on with my life. This is when it went from annoying to personal. You see, several students, including myself, were in the running to be our class's valedictorian. I didn't care too much, since the distinction wouldn't have gotten me any extra money from the college I was planning on attending. It was quite the shock to learn that Karen Jr., beyond a shadow of a doubt, was going to be our valedictorian for that year. To me and many others, this seemed impossible. She hadn't taken nearly as many weighted classes as a lot of us and was a good student at best. Also, Karen Jr.'s best friend was lined up to be the salutatorian, second in class rank. She was also a pretty mediocre student. So how did they both manage to get a higher GPA than us? We had been taking APs since freshman year. The answer came to me as I was eating lunch one day. One of my friends, we'll call him Aaron, had been making up a calculus test in Karen, Karen Jr.'s mom's, room. While he was there, he had overheard some seriously juicy information. Karen was looking at the student transcripts of high-ranking students, including myself, and had arranged for Karen Jr.'s schedule to inflate her GPA so much that it passed my own and the GPAs of other hard-working students. This included taking some online classes from a local college, which I was never permitted to take. This is because the classes were so specific that the credits didn't transfer. We're talking about a college class about proper walking slash exercising technique here. Easy crap. What's more concerning is that these students' transcripts contained very sensitive information that included, but was not limited to, last four digits of Social Security, home addresses, phone numbers, medical history, approved medication, and academic records of all kinds. Why they had openly whispered about this stuff with another student in the room was beyond me. I didn't want to take this information at face value, so I looked up the list of faculty that had permission to access student transcript information in the first place. Only a handful of teachers could do this. Wouldn't you believe that Karen's name was most certainly on that list? I also ran the numbers myself. It was totally possible to arrange a schedule of BS classes that would exceed everyone else's GPA. The same had been done to Karen Jr.'s best friend's schedule, just not to the same extent. I was livid. That was my personal information, which, if leaked, could cause some serious privacy issues. Part of my social was on there, for heaven's sake. So I decided that I wasn't going to take this lying down anymore. I looked up the regulations and codes regarding the sharing of a student transcript without consent, and oh boy, all of that crap is under FERPA law. And if you don't know anything about FERPA, just know that they don't mess around in the slightest. The state penalties alone for sharing student documents with a third party without consent, either from the parent, if the student is under 18, or the student itself, was a hefty fine, possible termination, and further federal penalties. We're talking possible jail time if the information shared led to consequences for the student whose information was shared. All I needed was proof. Along with Aaron's testimony, I wanted irrevocable proof that Karen and Karen Jr. were doing shady crap. So I hatched a plan. I was in the show choir, and so I had access to some decent recording equipment, including some single-use audio recorders. These were used by judges during competitions to give quick feedback on the show and also for student auditions. They were small, discreet, and silent. They also had a neat feature where you could set a timer on the thing to tell it to start recording after so much time had passed. I set the timer so the recorder would start during lunch. Before school one day, I went up to Karen's room to glance briefly and see if she was in there. She was not, and her room was not locked. Her classroom was on the second floor, so the stairwell door downstairs alone was locked at night. However, they unlocked these doors before school so that janitors could do spot cleaning before normal class hours. I taped one of these recorders under her chair, set the timer for around lunchtime and her planning period. They were back to back, and waited. I went back at the end of the day. I had choir practice, and retrieved the recorder before the downstairs doors were locked. They left them unlocked for extracurricular activities because freshman and sophomore lockers were upstairs. I got home and began playing the tape. Bingo. I had my irrefutable evidence. It was all there. Conversations about Karen viewing student transcripts and disclosing that information with a third party, Karen Jr. Now, I had another problem. You see, Karen was extremely friendly with the administration, so I had to find someone who I knew would take me seriously and would cooperate, while keeping my identity a secret. Fortunately, my counselor, we were each assigned one based on our last name, was a real stand-up guy, and I knew he'd come in clutch. He also wasn't close with Karen, unlike many of the other counselors and higher-up staff. I went with Aaron to his office, and I took my laptop with the audio file backed up onto it. We presented our case. You see, to file a FERPA violation report, you needed a member of the administration of the offending organization, this included my counselor, to go on record saying that the complaint was legitimate and that further investigation was warranted. The complaint was also anonymous. He gave me his sweet, sweet approval on the form. I filed the complaint and waited. The fallout was glorious. The school's administration was forced to do an objective audit on all of Karen's activity at the school, where they confirmed that all of this BS had been taking place. Karen Jr.'s valedictorian status and her friend's salutatorian status were sacked, and another, more deserving kid was presented with the honor. I myself was awarded salutatorian, although this didn't matter to me so much. The school was fined by FERPA for breach of policy, and Karen might get fired. I never found out. I was graduated before all of that took place. In retrospect, she probably wasn't fired over this because she knew folks on the county school board, but it's fun to dream. But it doesn't end there. During the audit, they also found evidence that Karen Jr. had been coming to her mom's room during regular tests and copying down answers from the internet, and she faced severe disciplinary action for that. That certainly wouldn't look good on her record. We're talking in-school suspension due to multiple documented violations. The icing on the cake was when they discovered the foolery regarding her ACT accommodations. Turns out, her mom had been pulling the string behind the scenes to get her accommodations for that anxiety we talked about earlier. The ACT company takes cheating very seriously, and so they voided her pristine standardized testing score, which had landed her a full scholarship to her university of choice. The same ended up happening with some of her SAT and AP scores as well, for reasons that I never personally discovered. Karen Jr. lost all of her scholarship money from the university and ended up attending an in-state college, which took the few scores that were not voided and also weren't fraudulent. Those scores probably weren't nearly as good as her voided ones. All of this news was absolutely buzzing around the school, and Karen Jr. was disgraced. I did my part in my graduation ceremony a few months later, and all was well. I never intended for it to go so far, but I don't feel bad one bit. Revenge is sweet and best served by FERPA. Thanks for reading. Have you ever seen someone cheating on a test? If so, did you tell anyone? Please let us know. Nothing wrong with a little cheating here and there. That's how I graduated high school. Karen at Hotel I Work At demands I do her laundry. I work at a hotel in a college town. I've seen some madness in my time at the hotel, but have been completely desensitized to it all. I've also met some pretty entitled people. I've been screamed at and attacked, but this particular person has definitely made me question my life and reminded me why I am in college to better my life. Some information about my workplace. We will allow 3-room moves if necessary. So the room you're assigned to at check-in is the first one. Then if you move, that's the second. Move again, that's the third. If you wish to move another time, then you're being charged for that room. However, this policy only occurs if the person has no valid reason for a room move. Now, if the person's third room ends up having a busted pipe, that's completely different. But this lady in the story is why we have this policy. Also, my job is to check people in and get them what they need and help within the policy at work. My job is not to do guest laundry. I can direct you to where there are laundry services in town that will do it for you, but it is not my job to do your laundry, especially with everything going on. Another thing to add, because of what's going on, I'm not allowed to touch anybody's belongings. I'm not allowed to enter a room unless I am invited into said room. This is to avoid lawsuits, and it's a safety measure. Now, on to the majestic story. I was working a 3-to-11 shift. I had 10 arrivals. It was going to be a very slow night. A woman came in to check in. We will call her Anna. Anna was not coherent at all. It took a while for her to fill out the paperwork and couldn't understand why I needed her ID. I must have this to make sure you are the person on the reservation. It was clear as day Anna was on something. Upon filling out the paper I handed her, she realized that there was an extra row of tables between her and I, along with plexiglass blocking each other. Anna, what is this? Insert her gesturing to the tables. Me, oh, due to what's going on, we have to have an extra table between us and the guest to ensure both safety. Anna,
okay, but why this glass?
She taps on it. Me, to ensure both of our safety.
Okay, well, I don't appreciate you doing this.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but the tables and glass are here to stay.
When I come to the lobby to ask for help, or when I stay here in the future, I expect you to move all of this. I don't like any of this. This is a hotel, and it makes it look like trash.
Anna looked like somebody who did illegal things and was very small and tiny. To give context, I'm 5'10". She came up to my chest, maybe. I informed her that taking all of this down when she, and only she, came down to the lobby, that it would be impossible to do, because management says that this has to be up at all times, no exceptions. Also, no, who made you the queen of the hotel and the owner of my plexiglass? She storms out to her car when I checked her in. She comes back with a luggage cart full of belongings. I put her in 324. She's in the room for 2 hours. She comes down and demands the bottom floor. I informed her I had no rooms ready on the bottom floor due to the large amount of departures, but I will gladly move her later when they're ready. Anna.
What? What do you mean I have to wait?
Me. I don't have rooms ready on the bottom floor, ma'am. You'll have to wait till later.
No, I want it now. There's no point in going to 324 when I can have the bottom floor now.
Me. Again, ma'am. You have to wait for the room move. Nothing is clean. She gets mad and storms off. I go back to cleaning when 30 minutes later, she appears behind me and asks me to write down directions to get to the grocery store across the street. Me. Oh, sure. So you turn left, then left again, go straight, and then turn left. I wrote it down and all. Anna.
So, I have to do laundry. If I give it to you, you'll do it, right?
Me. I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm not allowed to do laundry for guests. I'm not allowed to touch your belongings at all.
Wait, seriously? I need laundry done. I need you to do it.
Me. I'm sorry, ma'am, but no, I cannot do your laundry. We have a self-served laundry to the right down the hall.
I know that. I want you to go down there and do it for me.
Me. No, I'm not doing your laundry. Your laundry is your responsibility. Anna gets annoyed and leaves for her car. She comes back an hour later, goes to 324, calls me, and demands I come to her room and pack her belongings up for her. Again, I'm not allowed to touch their belongings at all. And even before all of this started, packing up guest belongings was a huge no on policy. I informed her that I will help her move her belongings to the new room, but I will not pack up her items. That is on her. Anna.
I don't understand why you won't do it.
Me. Ma'am, I've told you. I am not allowed to touch anybody's belongings at all. I can't touch your belongings. If you pack your things, put them on the luggage cart, then I can push the luggage cart to your new room. She agreed to this. I move her to 102. I go to 324, and I push the luggage cart to the elevator. Anna.
Oh, here.
Anna tried to put her suitcase, which has wheels, in my hand. Again, I cannot touch their belongings. Me.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but I can't touch your belongings. If you want, you can put it on the luggage cart and I'll push it. There's plenty of room.
No, I want you to pull it to my new room with the luggage cart.
I can't move a luggage cart that's full to the top with her belongings and pull a suitcase. Suitcase has wheels, by the way. Also, I have an arm brace on and can barely move the luggage cart forward without being in pain. I have serious carpal tunnel from my years in volleyball and computer programming. Me. No, ma'am, I will not. Please put it on the luggage cart or you carry it. These are the options. She got mad and finally took it to 102. I put her belongings inside the room and run to the desk to find a line in the lobby. I checked everybody in super fast, all are happy, but Anna came to the lobby and cut in front of a lovely woman I was helping. Anna,
I need you to do my laundry. I want a nap.
Me, ma'am, you're cutting. Please get in line and I will help you in the appropriate order.
I need you to do my laundry. I don't know how to do it.
Me, now shocked.
What?
No, I'm not doing your laundry, ma'am. Please do not ask again, for this is the last time I will be telling you no. I will not do your laundry. She gets mad and stomps off. I helped. She doesn't know how to do laundry. I helped the guest, and the guest looked very confused. Me too, lady. Me too. For the rest of my shift, every 30 minutes, she'd come to the desk and ask me to move her stuff from 102 back to 324, then 324 back to 102. It got to the point I ended up denying her because I wasn't able to do my actual job. She also complained that the hotel was too empty and she didn't like how quiet it was. She asked why it was so quiet. I just looked at her and informed her that what's going on has destroyed our business. That is why it is so quiet. This was a constant complaint. She would also ask for all of the welcome amenities we have that are free. Because they're free, we only give one out to each room. This depends on how many people are in the room, of course, but since she was the only one in the room, she only got one. She kept coming to the desk and asking for razors and shaving cream, toothbrushes and toothpaste, a lot of toilet paper, to which I denied. We aren't a store, we are a hotel. If you need a lot, you have to buy it yourself. She doesn't like me saying no, and me remembering I already gave her what she asked for. She then asked if anybody else was in the hotel that would give it to her. I told her no, and we note what room already got the free amenities, and she won't get any more. Especially since she was only here for one night. Now, it got quiet for the last 2 hours of my shift, but at 10 p.m., an hour before I left, she called me from 102 and asked for another room move. Not to 324, but to a whole different room. I asked why. She said she didn't feel safe. Okay, I'll allow the room move. I moved her in the system to 208. She called and demanded the exact same thing.
Pick up my things for me.
Again, no, I can't touch your belongings. She got mad, packed up her own things again. I went to 102 to hand her the keys. I got curious about the room and why it wasn't safe for her, so I asked. Me, what's the issue with the room, ma'am? Anna.
I don't like how it looks.
Me. All of my rooms are like this, ma'am. They're all the exact same.
I don't care. I want a different room.
If you wish, ma'am. However, this is the last room move. You get no more.
Yes, that's fine. Take my stuff to the room. Here's my suitcase.
Me, sounding like a broken record and clearly exhausted. I can't touch your belongings, ma'am. Please put it on the luggage cart or you carry it.
Oh my god, this is ridiculous. Do you know who I am?
Me. Anna.
I am related to Paul McCartney.
Me.
My security that is provided to me by Paul McCartney said I am in serious danger. That is why I am here.
Me. Ma'am, if you yell at me one more time, you can move the luggage cart yourself. Anna's attitude changed. I moved the luggage cart to 208. When I entered the room for 208, I put the luggage cart in the room. Anna.
I don't like this room.
Me. I'm sorry, ma'am, but you have to pick either 102, 324, or this room. These are your options. Anna.
Whatever. We need to find a different room. Let's go to the next one. I need to look at it.
Me. No! You need to pick this room or the other two.
What are the other rooms? Why do I have to pick?
Me. There was nothing wrong with the other rooms. As of now, you're costing the hotel money. We allow three room moves. If you go over three, we will charge you for the cost of the room.
Well, I don't like these rooms. I am Paul McCartney's family member, and my security said I am not safe in those rooms or this one.
Me, I'm sorry, ma'am,
but you need to either pick this one or the other two. These are your options.
Fine, 324.
I push the luggage cart to the elevator, go to the third floor, all the way down the hall to 324, and I put the luggage cart in there. Anna.
Actually, no, I want 208.
I was about to snap. Me.
Ma'am, I'm not moving this luggage cart until you figure out which room you want.
We sat in the hall for 5 minutes. Anna.
I want 208.
I push the cart to the elevator, go to the second floor, push it to 208, I put the cart in 208, and I leave. I'm at the desk working. It's 10:50 at night, 10 minutes until I get off work, when the phone rang. Anna.
I don't like this room. I want a different one.
I thought about hanging up, honestly. Anna.
Well, what are you going to do?
Me. 102, 208, or 324. Which one do you want, ma'am?
I don't want any of those rooms.
Then I will be charging you at the starting rate tonight for the room move.
No, I am not okay with that. I am in danger. You are putting me in danger.
This woman was clearly on something. I try to be understanding with people with these kinds of issues, but I have had it. I had moved her between all of these rooms 5 times. I cannot continue to do this for the rest of the night because she's on something and hallucinating. Me.
102, 208, or 324.
These are the rooms you're allowed to choose from.
Fine. 102.
I go back upstairs. Before I moved her rooms again, though, I told her I need all of the keys to the previous rooms. She refuses to give them to me. I told her I will not move her again until she gives me those keys now. She gave me the keys. I moved her to 102. I tell my night auditor to take a new set of keys to 102 and to look at every room she had access to and to charge her for every stolen item in the room. All of the towels in 208 had magically disappeared. I finally got to go home. I took a shower, pet my dog and cats, then I got a call from work. Night auditor.
102 wants to move rooms again and said she has only had one room move and that you're mean.
I told him everything. He laughed and said, "So she needs to pick between 102, 208, or 324? Okay, cool." And that was that. My management said I did a good job being patient and I did a good job following the rules. They gave me an energy drink because of her. We've got another video you're gonna love. It just popped up on the screen, so come watch it and we'll see you when you get there.
And join as a channel member today and we'll give you a special shout out in our next video. And to have us make any kind of video for you that you'd like us to, come visit us on Fiverr. Link pinned in the comments below.